So, Ayman, thanks again for coming. We are very excited to hear from you now.
So, guten Morgen. Good start, ja. Well, ich habe in Deutschland studiert, in Bamberg, BWL. Es war 20 Jahre. So, ich habe alles vergessen, so I will turn and move to English. Sorry about that. We'll talk about the Arab society in Israel, talk about the demographic trends, the current situation of the Arab society in Israel. Talk about the educational situation, about the labor market, economic integration, and we will focus, you know, about the gaps between the Arabs and the Jews in Israel. And we will talk about the reasons why there are gaps between the Arabs and the Jews in Israel. And I will focus also on the governmental policy in the last decade to change the situation of the Arab society in Israel. We will talk about current governmental resolution, programs, plans to integrate the Arab society into the Israeli economy. And we will focus on challenges, you know, and then the process that we have done in the last decade, you know, to achieve these goals. And I will talk also about the contradiction, you know, between the activities that we have done at the government to change and to invest in integrating the Arab society, and on the other side, the political issues that I'm not professional in these issues, not my mandate, but that are affecting negatively, you know, our efforts, you know, to integrate the Arab society. As example, the national bill that was approved at the Knesset and the parliament in the last few months, and other, you know, like political activities that are affecting, again, negatively, you know, this trend. But of course, my major focus, you know, this is my professional in that, in the economic integration and the obstacles, successes in these issues. I was born in Al-Ara. It is about 5 minutes from here. It is a small village. It's about 24,000 citizens in Al-Ara. It is close here to Givat Chaviva. And I have three children, two boys and a girl, and my children, they choose to study in Jewish schools. They are not, you know, in their in the Arab schools in Al-Ara, and of course we will talk about it, but the main reason is that we are looking for better educational system and schools, so we have to move or to the Christian schools in Haifa and Nazareth, or to good Jewish schools. A lot of people like me are doing the same thing. They're sending their children, you know, to these schools. And we will talk about the reasons why there are gaps, you know, in the educational system. So when we talk about the Israeli, the Arab society in Israel, as you know, in Israel, there are about 8.4 million citizens. And we are talking about 1.8 million citizen, Arab citizens in Israel, including the 300,000 in East Jerusalem. You can see that 83% of the Arab society are Muslims. About 8.7% Christians, Arab Christian, and about 8.3% Druze society. And we include the Bedouin society, mainly in the southern part of Israel, within the Muslim society. As you know, the Bedouin community, there are about 270,000 Bedouins that live in the southern part of Israel. And it is another major sensitive issue. Maybe we will talk about it later on. I have to say that the natural growth rate, you know, among the Arabs is decreasing in the last decades. And today we are talking about natural growth rate of about 2.4%. The Jews community is increasing as about 1.7%. But also within the Arab society, you have to understand there is a difference between the Bedouin community. They are growing at over 4.5% a year, one of the highest in the world in the Bedouin community. But within the Christian community, Arab community, about 1.4%. But the trend, you know, is decreasing natural growth rates among the Arab society. And you can see here that the fertility rate of Arab women and Jewish women today is similar. You know, each one of the Arab women, 3.1 children, it's similar to the Jewish community. And the Jewish community is mainly because of the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox community within the Jewish society. Regarding the education, as I mentioned before, but before that, I have to say that we are the Arab society, because I don't know if you know that, but we are located mainly in the northern part of Israel. So the Arab society is located in the northern part of Israel. The northern part of Israel, about 50% of it is are Arabs and 50% are Jews. And in this area, this is the dry ankle area, it's about 20% of the Arab society is located here. We have mixed cities like Haifa and like Yafa and Ramla, Lod. Those are mixed cities. The Arabs in these towns are about between 10% and 20% of the population. So, but I have to say that the majority of the Arab, over 70% of the Arabs, 75% of the Arabs, they live in their own villages and towns. Okay, so we are separated. I mean, the Jews, they live in their own villages and towns, and the Arab society, they live in their own villages and towns. Now, because of the shortages, the shortage of housing, a solution within the Arab villages and towns, many Arab young people are moving, you know, to Upper Nazareth, to the Jewish cities, to Carmel, to Afula, you know, because they don't find like housing solutions in their cities. But to understand the picture, there's a separation. I mean, the Jews live in their own cities and towns, and the Arab society again. Now, regarding the educational system, there are a lot of gaps, you know, between the achievements, you know, of the Arab society and the Jewish society. As you can see here, the entitled for matriculation among the Arabs is about 48%, and among the Jews is about 71%. There are also other indicators like PISA and the other, you know, like international, you know, like exams that are measuring, you know, the achievement of the students. There are also gaps between the Arabs and the Jews. And you have to understand that the major reason for these gaps is the governmental policy. Okay, so if the government invested, you know, differently in Arab students and Jewish students. As example here, you know, in the high schools in Israel, and Arab students get about 18,000 shekel from the government a year, and a Jewish student get about 31,000 shekel a year. So there is allocation mechanism within the different ministries, in this case the Ministry of Education, that are allocating, you know, the money differently between the Arabs and the Jews. And in my opinion, that is the major reason, you know, for the gaps in the achievements, you know, of the Arabs and the Jews. I will talk, of course, about, you know, the changes that we have done in the last years to change this situation, and there are positive changes. As an example, in the primary school, there was also a gap of about 30% between the Arabs and the Jews in the allocation of governmental resources, and we have closed this gap in the last 5 years. But still in the high schools, the gaps are still there. There's another reform, you know, to change this allocation mechanism within the Ministry of Education. That's the reason why my children, you know, like, and by the way, myself, you know, choose to study, in our case, you know, like in the Jewish schools. But this is a very, very low percentage of Arabs are studying in Jewish schools. I mean, you don't have to understand that now all the Arabs are studying in Jewish schools. In my case, this is the case. But a lot of Arab students are leaving, you know, their villages and towns and going to Haifa and to Nazareth, you know, where are private schools, and they look for a better educational system. In the higher educational system, I have to say that 10 years ago, you know, the percent of Arab students in the higher education system was relatively low. We were talking about 9%, 8% of the Arabs, of the total students are from the Arab society in Israel. And as you can see here, there is a significant change, the significant increase in the percentage, or here in the absolute numbers, but in the percentage of Arabs that are studying at the high schools in Israel. As you can see here, the BA, the number of Arab students is increasing, you know, over the years, the MA and also the PhD. And the most important thing that you have to know here is the significant share of Arab women in these data. So 65% of the students from the Arab society in the colleges and universities are Arab women, 65%. Okay, so there's a significant increase in this case. The Arab women with academic degree 10 years ago was about 5%. So only 5% of the Arab women had an academic degree 10 years ago. Today we are talking about 14%. So this is a significant increase. But if we compare it to the Jewish community is about 28%, almost double, you know, than the Arab women. But as you can see here, there is a significant increase, you know, in the number of students. By the way, those are the numbers of the students here that are studying in Israel. But we have a lot of students like me that study in Germany, in Italy, Europe, and today in this, in the last few years, mainly East Europe, Romania, Hungary, and these Eastern countries, and they are going there because it is very difficult to be accepted to certain, you know, subjects like medicine. Okay, so you have to be a genius, you know, like to be accepted to a university in Israel to study medicine. So you go I don't know, to Europe, and the conditions, you know, to be accepted in the universities abroad are much easier, you know, than the case here in Israel. That's why we have over 40,000 Arab students that are studying abroad. Mainly these kind of subjects, medicine and, you know, and difficult subjects that it's very difficult to be accepted to them. Now, if we talk about the labor market in Israel, as you know, Israel is is part of the OECD, and was accepted like a few years ago, and we compare all the time ourselves to the OECD countries. Of course, you know, in the labor market, and one of the major reasons why the participation rate of the Israelis in the labor market is lower than the average of the OECD is because of two population groups, the Arabs and the Jewish Haredim, the Ultra Orthodox. those two population groups are not enough represented in the labor market, and so that Israel is, lower in the rates, compared to the OECD countries. As you can see here, regarding the Arab society, our major challenge, as you can see here, is the Arab women. Only 35% of the Arab women are part of the labor market. Now, why? The question, of course, is why, and maybe some of you will think about traditional reasons. They don't want to be part of the labor market, and so on and so on. So I can tell you it is not right. I mean, the major reason why the Arab women are not a part of the labor market is the lack of jobs in the residential areas, of the Arab society. As I mentioned before, and that's why I focused, on this issue, that we are located mainly in the northern part of Israel and the southern part of Israel, which is the periphery of Israel. And the Israeli economy is concentrated, in this area, to the south, which is Tel Aviv area, and, the center part of Israel, all factories and companies and high-tech and is located there. This is in Tel Aviv, this is in Herzliya, this is in Ra'anana, and this is, in the middle of Israel. There is a lack of companies in the periphery of Israel. So it doesn't matter if you are an Arab or a Jew, if you live in the periphery of Israel, your chances, to find a good job are much less than a residential citizen who lives in the middle of Israel. I mean, that is the fact. So the lack of jobs in the northern part of Israel, in the periphery, that is the major reason why the Arab women are not part of the labor market. There are also other reasons. The educational level of the Arab women that are not part of the labor market is lower, is relatively low, so we have to work on these issues. There are also other obstacles, like public transportation. We didn't have, there is no public transportation within the Arab villages and towns until the year 2010. There was nothing. There was no buses that are coming into the cities and towns and villages of the Arab society. I mean, public transportation is an important, component, of getting people, to achieve working places and other things. We didn't have that. Daycare centers. Okay, so you're a woman, you want to go to find a job. You have, two or three children. You need a daycare center to put your children there and to go to work. We didn't have enough daycare centers. That is another major reason why the Arab women didn't go enough, into the labor market. Those are the obstacles. And of course, I will talk about, the solutions and programs that we have done and the changes that you can see here. We succeeded to increase, from 21% 2001. Today, we are talking about 35%, but it's not enough. I mean, we want to be like the Jewish community and to increase these rates, significantly in the next years. By the way, if you have questions, so feel free to ask, okay? So regarding the local municipalities, I don't know if you know, but it's different than in Germany. In Israel, you have the central government. Okay, so the Minister of Education, Minister of Finance, Minister of Transportation, and you have 257 local municipalities. Okay, so you have the municipality of Tel Aviv, municipality of Be'er Sheva, the municipality of Ar'ara, local municipalities. So the government is transferring, you know, the money, allocating the money from the central government to the local municipalities. And the local municipalities are responsible about the implementation of providing, you know, the services to the citizens. As example, in the education, so the Minister of Education is allocating or transferring money to the local municipality by the law, and the municipality, they have to complete, the budget for each one of the students. The Minister of Education is providing 75% of the, as I gave you the examples before, yeah? I mean, we were talking about 30,000 shekels for Jewish students in the high schools and 18,000 shekel for an Arab student. So the Arab municipality will get the 18,000 shekel for the Minister of Education, and they have to add additional 25% of the amount of the money and to invest it in the Arab student. That's by law, you know. So the government is subsidizing 75% of the cost of the education for each one of the students, and the local municipality have to add that 25%. That is how the system is working. In Israel, money from the government and the local municipalities adding their share, and that's how the citizens are getting the services done, you know, in the local areas. Now, the problem here with the Arab municipalities, that they are weak municipalities. So their revenues, local revenues, are very weak. And why they are weak? As you know, a local municipality, they get, you know, like taxes from the citizens, from residential, you know, like sectors. And if they have like industrial zones or commercial areas, say they get the arnona, the local taxes. That's the major revenues of the local municipalities. In our case, they are weak because the majority of the income, the taxes from the for the local municipalities are from residential areas, and because of the lack, we don't have enough industrial zones. We don't have commercial areas. We don't have, you know, like companies like Microsoft and Intel and all these larger companies that you have in Ra'anana and Herzliya and all these things. So the income of these local municipalities is very, very weak. So it makes difficult, you know, for these municipalities to participate in budgeting, you know, the educational issues or the other issues. So it is affecting negatively, you know, the services that an Arab citizen can get in this area. So you have to understand that this is very important, because when we think about the solutions, we think about, you know, how to strengthen the Arab municipalities, how to increase their revenues so that they can provide better services, you know, to their citizens. Okay, that's why I'm concentrating on this issue. That is another major thing. No, I mean the reason why we didn't have public transportation is this is very simple. The government didn't invest. The Minister of Transportation didn't operate, you know, public transportation in Arab villages and towns. I mean, this was a policy. It's not a policy, okay? So that's why I will talk about the changes, you know, that we started to operate public transportation since 2010. But until then, nothing. I mean, there's a governmental policy in the Minister of Transportation to operate public transportation in Herzliya and Ra'anan and Rosh Ha'an. Arab society, no. Why? I don't know. Political, you know, reason maybe. So if we summarize and look, you know, at the gaps, you know, between the Arabs and the Jews here, as you can see here, you know, there's gaps between the Arabs and the Jews, you know, in terms of employment rate, in terms of salaries, poverty, you know, that we are, you know, much higher than the Jewish society, and then the educational level. There are still a lot of gaps, you know, in these issues. Now, why it is important, you know, for the state of Israel and for the government of Israel to invest, you know, in the Arab society and the ultra-Orthodox society. And this change, and I will talk about it later, I mean, has occurred, you know, like a decade ago, 10 years ago. The government, you know, understood that they can't continue with this policy. We can't ignore, you know, 20% of the population. We can't continue with the policy of not investing in these things. And the major reason is, the forecast for the state of Israel. This is an official forecast, you know, that by the year 2059, the rate or the share of the Arab society and the Haredim, the Orthodox Jews society, in the total population in Israel will be 50%. In the year 2059, now we are, as you know, as you see here, we are 21% of the society in Israel today, and the Haredim about 10%. By the year 2059, we are going to be, the Haredim and the Arabs, about 50% of the population. The major increases among the Haredim, among the Orthodox, you know, they're going to be 27%. The Arabs are going to be 23%. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you like Arabs or don't like Arabs, if you like Haredim or don't like Haredim, Habibi, you have to start and to invest in these population groups. It is very important for the labor market. It's very important for the economy. It's very important for the state of Israel. So you can't ignore anymore, you know, these two population groups, okay? That is a major reason, you know, why there was a change, you know, in the policy of Israel. And of course, if we continue, you know, with these issues, the debt to GDP ratio will increase significantly. So they will have a negative impact, you know, in the economy of Israel. So, you know, when I started, you know, like to deal with these issues, we started to talk about these numbers. I mean, look, you are 21 of the population of Israel, 21% of the population of Israel. Our contribution to the GDP is about 8%. So the Israeli market is losing every year billions of dollars, you know, because the Israeli Arab society are not part of the economy. So we started to talk about these issues, and the government, you know, decided in 2008, 2007, to change the policy. Look, I mean, we have to think differently about these societies. We have to start to invest really more money in changing the situation of the Arab society. So there were mainly economical reasons why the policy have been changed within the government of Israel. And the same year, 2008-2009, there was a negotiation between Israel and the OECD, you know, to be part of the OECD. And the OECD organization, they emphasized the fact that Israel doesn't invest enough in the Arab society and other issues, okay? But now I'm focusing on the Arab society. So there was a clear recommendation of the OECD to Israel, look, you have to start to invest in this population group. So there was another reason why Israel changed the policy in these issues. Now, I was, as mentioned before, I started to work for the government in 94. Until 94, we have to understand, no Arabs were at the government, worked for the government, nothing. So 94 started together with other 20 Arab academic for the government, and I worked for the Minister of Economy, and after that I moved to the Prime Minister office, to the economic department of the Prime Minister office, and I was there for more than 10 years. Dealing with, you know, like national issues, like macro economy, investments, transportation, all these things. And 2008, the government decided to create authority for economic development of the minorities in Israel. Why? Because of the reasons that I've explained before. So the first step that the government has done is to approve a government resolution to establish authority to deal with this issue of how to integrate the Arab society into the Israeli economy. And I don't know if you noticed, but I said at the Prime Minister office, I mean, it is a very strong decision, you know, to locate the authority under the Prime Minister, because this is a national issue for the government, for the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister himself wanted to deal with this issue. He wanted to control, you know, this issue and to lead it. So that's why the location of the authority was at the Prime Minister's office. And there was a tender. I applied to the tender, and I was nominated by the government in August 2008. To create this authority and to run this authority at the Prime Minister's office. It was not easy. Everybody was sure, you know, that a Jew, you know, will get the job, you know, to run, because we are not qualified enough, you know, to run this kind of missions and to be responsible for this kind of missions. But I decided, you know, to apply for this job, and I won the tender, and I was nominated there. And I think it was a very significant decision of the government, you know, to nominate an Arab, you know, for this position and to run this authority. And we, you know, like we got a lot of critique, you know, from the right wing side, you know, of the political things, how you can nominate an Arab for this position, prime minister, the town, so on. And I think that this decision was a significant one, you know, in the relations between the government and the Arab society. And that was the first governmental decision toward, you know, changing the policy, increasing the trust, you know, between the government and the Israeli Arab society, because there is a big mistrust, you know, between the Arab society and the government of Israel. And the decision was one of the first steps to change, you know, this relation between the Arab society and the government. And I started, you know, like to create this authority of the Prime Minister's office. And if you can see here, are the main areas of activities is exactly what I have was I was talking before. I want to integrate the Arab society in the Israeli economy. I want to invest in education, in employment, in the business sector, you know, to change the situation of the Arab society. What is your question? No, it is an incident and nothing, you know, to do with that. It was, you know, the decision was taken in 2007 to create the authority, but as you know, it takes time, you know, to start to create these authorities. So the tender was published in May 2008, and I was nominated in August 2008, you know, to run this authority. That's nothing to do with that. So that is the authority, and by the way, yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I started with zero money, nothing, and zero employees, wala hada, alone, you know, for about a year, you know, like something like that. But I started to create plans and to build the infrastructure, you know, for the authority. So I get, you know, like seven employees within the, after one year. And I get, you know, like a small amount of money, about 20 million shekels, you know, to run some of the projects. And 2 years, 1.5 years, you know, after the creation of the authority, today, I mean, we are there are 15 employees in this authority, and the authority is responsible about the implementation of governmental plans, and we are talking about a budget of about 3 billion shekels a year. 3 billion shekels a year, that is the budget that the authority is responsible today. Okay, so you have to understand that is a significant, you know, like achievement of in the activities of the authority, and I will talk about these, you know, governmental governmental plans in a minute. But you have to understand, I mean, that is the list, you know, like of the governmental resolutions that we approved in the last decade to invest in the Arab society and to change the situation in the Arab society in education, in employment, transportation, in housing, and all these major areas. But I wanted to tell you, you know, about the major challenges, you know, that I had at the beginning of my work. As I mentioned before, there was a lot of critique, you know, by nominating me, you know, for this position. The critique was also on the other side. I mean, the Arab society thought that I am from the Shabak or from the Mossad, you know, this security institutes, you know, because they are also located in the Prime Minister's office. So they thought that I am, you know, one of them, you know. And we had to deal with this critique. I mean, I had to deal, the first thing that I have to deal with is to create, to build the trust, you know, between me and the authority at the Prime Minister's office and the Arab society. It was not easy, okay? So we had one of the thing that the good thing that I have done is to create a committee, you know, for this authority, represented by mayors from the Arab society, leading business people from the Arab society and the Jewish society. So I had like 40 leaders from the Arab society and the Jewish society. They were my steering committee at the authority. Okay. That was the first thing that we have done, and we had meetings with the Prime Minister, you know, like every month or two we have done meetings, you know, with the Prime Minister, you know, to talk about the issues, to discuss, to approve plans, budgets, and all these things. That was the major thing that we have done. And the second thing is I had to show quick wins, you know, like in my activities. So I wanted to show successes, you know, that we are not, we didn't create this authority to talk about slogans and to promise and not to implement. So I wanted to implement also these projects in the field. And as you can see here, we started with the first governmental resolution. It was in 2010. I get about 778 million shekels, you know, to invest in 13 Arab municipalities, in industrial zones, transportation that I mentioned before that we didn't have, you know, until 2010. So we started to operate public transportation in the Arab villages and towns. So the people started to see buses, you know, coming into the Arab villages and towns. And they saw this change, you know, like happening, you know, in front of their eyes. We have created employment centers within the villages, you know, to work and to help the Arab women to be part of the labor market, and so on and so on. So we started, you know, to approve governmental resolutions and to implement these projects in the field together with the mayors and the municipalities and the local municipalities, you know, to show successes. And And in general, if I summarize, you know that the these resolutions, there are more than 12 resolutions. I get from the government more than 16 billion shekels, which is about $4.5 billion, okay, in the last decade in my areas, you know, in my for these projects and programs. And you have to understand that we are talking about a government, and I'm not a politician, I'm not belonging not to the Likud and not to the other sides. I'm a professional civil servant, okay? We succeeded to approve these plans at the government run by Bibi Netanyahu, which is, he's not from Meretz and he's not from, you know, right wing. And of course today it's even more difficult because we have Lieberman and Bennett and all the political parties that are from the right wing of the political map in Israel. So you have to understand that we succeeded to convince this government since 2010. As you know, Bibi, he's the prime minister already from March 2009, okay? With all the time different governments, but the governments that were created after that were more right, you know, in the political sense. So we succeeded to convince these governments, you know, to invest in the Arab society. It is not an easy issue, you have to understand, okay? And I will talk about it in a minute because we had a significant plan that we approved of the government, a lot of money, and I will talk also about the difficulties that we have in this plan. So you have to tell me how much time do I have?
10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Okay.
So the major projects, as I mentioned before, we invested in industrial zones, we invested in employment centers, public transportation, high tech, higher education plan, to help, you know, like micro businesses, you know, to be created in the Arab villages and towns. As example, it is a very, very nice project that we had. The model of Muhammad Yunus, you know, the micro loans for women to start businesses at home. So at one of these projects, we provided Arab women small loans, you know, to create, you know, like a business at home, and after that to expand and to increase. That is one of the things we have done. It is a great, great project. We have created 21 employment centers within Arab cities and villages. You know, you have a great center, very modern with technology and all these things. These centers are calling, you know, the Arab women to come into these centers to get soft skills. We strengthen them in Hebrew, English, to use the computer and how to look for a job. And also hard skills, you know, you want to be, a cook, or you want to be anything that you need for training, you know, a professional training so they can get from these centers. We are paying for that. They don't have to pay anything. I mean, the government is paying for all these things. And we have 21 employment centers. We have, it is not updated, but today we have more than 40,000, you know, like Arab citizens that came to these centers, more than 20,000 jobs that we succeeded to find, you know, and to do the placement for these people. This is a great success. These employment centers were one of the major reasons, you know, for the increase of Arab women. In 2015, there was a historical moment because we succeeded to convince the government, you know, to invest in the Arab society more than 15 billion shekels. You know, all the plans that I mentioned before, so I get 1 billion shekel, 500 millions, 2 billion shekels. in this plan, we succeeded, you know, to convince the government to invest about 15 billion shekels, you know, for the Arab society. And it was in 2015 when we approved this plan. And again, it was a very difficult, you know, situation to convince the politician and the government to invest this money. There were a lot of ministers against this plan. It took us about three governmental meetings, you know, to convince them with the support of the Prime Minister, Minister of Social Equality, Gil Gamliel, and the Finance Minister. And we have done a great professional, you know, work to convince them, you know, to do to invest the money. And we got this money. The significant, you know, like issue in this plan is not to get the money, to get, I don't know, 100 million shekels, you know, for public transportation or for education. No. We wanted through this governmental plan to change, you know, the mechanism of allocating the governmental money within the different ministries. I gave you the example before, you know, at the beginning, that the major reason is that the criteria and the mechanism for allocating the governmental money was wrong. It's not equal, you know, between Arabs and Jews. So through this plan, I want to change that. I want to change the basic, you know. Let's start from the beginning. You have 100 million shekels, so I want to divide, to allocate the 100 million shekel equally between the Arabs and the Jews. The Arabs should get at least 20% of these budgets, you know, to the Arab society. Before that, the Arab get only 5%, or 6%, or 7%. Through 922, that's the name of the plan, we succeeded, you know, to approve that we want to change the mechanism within the different ministries. And I think this is a great achievement, you know, for us, and of course, you know, for the Arab society with these important things. By the way, I mean, this is a very large project, holistic one. It deals with a lot of issues, as you can see here, employment and housing and security and a lot of things. The total amount of the money that you can see here, again, it is very, very important. And to empower the local authorities, I don't have time. So I will go quick, you know, through these things. As I mentioned before, one of the major obstacles was that the local municipalities are weak. So I wanted to strengthen these local municipalities through this plan. And those are part of the things that we have invested, you know, in this plan. The challenges, and I want to talk about the challenges in a minute, because, okay, you have the money. You succeeded to approve that at the government, and you have 15 billion shekels. Now you have to implement that. And the challenges, our major challenges are two or three. And the governmental bureaucracy, you know, it takes time, you know, to transfer the money from the Minister of Finance to the other ministries, because you have to approve it at the parliament, at the Knesset, at the town, political issues and all of the things. This is a major, major challenge. The implementation system, you know, within the different ministries, the weakness of the implementation systems, as example, the Minister of Transportation, they have three implementation companies, and they don't know how to work with the Arab villages and towns. So that's another major challenge that I have to deal with and had to create it. And on the other side, you know, the recipient side, I mean, the local authorities, again, that is a major challenge. Okay, I transfer the money to your local authority. Now you have to implement it in the field. And as I mentioned before, the local Arab authorities are weak also in the management. You know, so they don't have enough professional staff, you know, to deal with these issues. And you have to understand, as example, and I can give you an example, like an informal education, the Minister of Education allocated about 100,000 shekel, you know, a year for a local municipality, okay? Now, because of this plan, this municipality will get 1.5 million shekels. So the local authority don't know, you know, how to implement, you know, and how to use all this money that came, you know, in 1 year, you know, for the thing. So that is a major obstacle that we had to deal with. So the solutions were that we provided professional staff to the local authorities. We created implementation companies, you know, to help the local authorities and to help the ministries, you know, to implement all these things. But still, there are challenges in these things. And the other major thing is the mistrust, you know. But again, mistrust, because you have to understand that also in the Arab society, they don't believe, you know, that we approved 15 billion shekels for the Arabs, okay? So I have to convince them that I'm serious and the government is serious and the money is there and the money is being transferred. It's not easy, okay? So, and any failure that you are doing in these issues, you can pay like a very high price, you know, in the image, you know, like of this governmental plan. I have to say that that was the first governmental resolution that we have done together with the representatives of the Arab society. There was a committee that was represented by Arab mayors, there were four Arab mayors, and even member of the Knesset, Arab Ayman Odeh, I don't know if you know him, but he is the head of the joint list, the Arab member of the Knesset, and he was also part, you know, of working on this plan. That was the first time that the government cooperated with the representative of Arab society. So they feel that this plan is also their plan. So if we succeed, we succeed together, and if we fail, we fail together. I mean, that was very, very, very important to me, you know, to give this feeling to the representative of Arab society that it's not only a governmental plan, this is a plan for the Arab society. And we have to work together, you know, to implement these things. So to summarize what I have, what I tried, you know, like to explain to you, to share to you the picture is that there are, you know, 20% of the population in Israel are from the Arab society. For decades, you know, the government didn't invest enough, okay, in the Arab society. That's why there were gaps in almost all sectors, in education and demography and the labor market and higher education, transportation, housing. We didn't even talk about the housing problem, but in all aspects, there were gaps. And I'm happy to say that in the last decade, there was a change in the policy, a positive change, and the government started to invest in these issues. And as you can see, there's a positive trends in labor market, education, all these things. But we didn't have enough time to talk about that. All these positive directions, governmental money, and the implementation, are in contradiction with the other direction of the current government and the previous government. You know, to approve bills at the parliament, at the Knesset, you know, to exclude us, the Arab society, from the Israeli community or the Israeli economy. The national bill is a great example of that. I mean, and that's, I can deal with that, it's not my mandate, but it is affecting negatively, you know, our efforts, you know, to integrate the Arab society into the Israeli economy, because you can't talk to a high-tech company, you know, to hire Arab academics in the company, while you're approving, you know, a law that's saying that a Jew is better than an Arab, you know, like in this country, okay? So there are contradiction, you know, in these two lines, and that's the major issue that we are dealing with today. We don't know. You want us, you know, like part of this country, or you want to exclude us, okay? So we have to decide. This is a clear, but again, this is a clear saying that in terms of economic integration, yes, we want the Arab society to be part of the Israeli economy. But on the other side, political issues, you know, I don't know. I mean, the direction, the discourse, you know, of the government, the parliament, is not clear, you know, in these issues. But again, to summarize that, is there are positive trends, and I'm optimistic. Despite all the political, you know, like issues that are occurring, we have to continue. you know, with this issue. There is no alternative, as I showed you before. We are going to be 50% of the population, Arabs and Haredim. You like it or not, it's your problem, okay? So you have to invest, and you have to continue with this, you know, with these investments to create a better society and a better country, a stronger country. Thank you very much for that. And you have questions, so please feel free. We have a few minutes, Nahon. You're welcome.
You mentioned already during your presentation that there was a big opposition to the political level of this program.
Mm-hmm.
Was it also discussed in the overall population of Israel? Was it in the public discussion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. There was a big discussion, you know, in the Israeli Jewish community, Israeli Arab community. I mean, people, you know, were saying, you know, it's too much money, you know, to invest in the Arab society. And, you know, the Jewish community said that, why we have to invest, you know, in the Arab society. They are not loyal, you know, to the country and all these things, and not serving in the army and, you know. And in the Arab community, as I said, I mean, there are a lot of people, you know, that supported, you know, 92, the major governmental resolution. But there are also other political, you know, like parties that were against, you know, what we are doing, and they were criticizing, you know, like the fact that we are doing a propaganda, you know, like for the government, because you know that it's not true and there's no money. And there was a big discussion. I was, you know, like interviewed, you know, like I've done a lot of interviews, you know, in the Arab community and the Jewish community to explain that. And it's not easy. I mean, you know, the discussion is still there, by the way. I mean, they are, you know, like doing supervision of the implementation of the money of transfer. To do to ensure that the things are being done. That we used to convince them, yeah. I can tell you that mainly economical reasons. I mean, as I mentioned before, I mean, you know, you want to be one of the leading countries in the world in terms of GDP, GDP per capita, growth rate, and all the things. You can't do that without integrating the Arab society. If you don't invest in the Arab society, you know, like they will deal, you know, the Arab society will deal with, I don't know, with violence, with, you know, with other negative social issues. We have to resolve, you know, these problems. We have to invest in the employment. Mainly, you know, like there were economical reasons why they, you know, were convinced, you know, to make the investments.
Yeah, I requested to the employers you were dealing
with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the current situation is that, you know, there are, it depends, you know, on which sector we are talking about. As example, in the medicine sector, health sector, Arabs and Jews, doctors, nurses, are working great, great, great together for decades. And the percentage of Arabs, you know, at the hospitals and nurses, Arab nurses in the hospital is about 40% or even, you know, more, you know, in certain areas. A great, you know, harmony, you know, in this sector. But if you look at, as an example, at the high-tech sector, okay, we have Arab graduates that have, you know, like a degree in, I don't know, computer science and all these things, but they are not part of the high-tech sector. I mean, the high-tech sector was closed in front of the Arabs for many years. I mean, why? Because, you know, they were telling us stories, you know, like high-tech sector is security and all these things, but it's kvatch, kvish umrim germanit. And it was changed, you know, in the last years, and there are more and more Arabs, you know, coming into these companies that are working together. There are sectors that Arabs and Jews coming together. The example that you gave, you know, like 2 days ago, it is in the Palestinian territories. Is, you know, it's not within, it was Israel, but again, I mean, it is affecting, you know, the relation between Arabs and Jews in Israel. Any terror attacks, any, you know, like terror action, you know, will hurt, you know, these achievements. But I have to say that there is a positive change. Jewish employers, you know, are hiring more and more Arabs in different sectors. Positive trend in these issues. Yeah, I mean, a great question, and of course, I mean, all the programs that I was talking about, we are, you know, working with experts from the Arab society. They are a part of these plans. They are part of the committees that are conducting, you know, these plans. And the best example was, again, 922. There was a committee, you know, that was approved by the government that they are working with us. I mean, Arab experts, mayors, even politicians like member of Knesset that also rule, you know, in the discussions. We are doing that. Of course, I mean, there is all the time, you know, the question of, you know, how much, you know, involvement, you know, you can do, because you have, you know, like the different ministries that you have to work with, and they have also their experts and they have their experience, you know, in these issues. So it is there, but again, this is limited. Regarding your question, is we don't have enough. I have to say, programs, goals. You know how to create like a common society in Israel. We have some actions. You know, to do that. As example, we are hiring Arab teachers in Jewish schools. And we are we're doing the same thing, the opposite thing. There are Jewish teachers to teach, you know, like Hebrew in Arab schools, or to bring, you know, like Arab students with Jewish students together. But I have to admit, it is very limited. It is not there, and I totally agree with you. We have to do more, you know, to bring that to society together. Absolutely. So it depends. I mean, when we talk about government resolution, and as you can see here, like in 922, I dealt with almost all aspects, housing, employment, all these things. So, of course, to choose, you know, what program in which, you know, like subject we have to discuss, and of course to do the work with the Arab professionals, with the different ministries. And of course, at the end, it is the issue of money, of how much budget you can get from the government, you know, to deal with things. Okay, you can get, like, you can have, I don't know, 10 great programs, you know, but you have to do the negotiation with the Minister of Finance merely, you know, to get money for these programs. And maybe, you know, Minister of Finance will say, okay, I will finance and budget, you know, like 3 out of 10. Okay, so there's also other criteria in these issues. Look, I mean, this is my country. I was born here. My grandfather was born here, and my children will be raised here. I'm not going to move anywhere. Look, and we have a lot of challenges, and the situation is not easy. And there is occupation, you know, in the Palestinian territory, and there are also a lot of problems within Israel between the Jewish community and the Israeli community. We have a lot of challenges, but we can't, you know, like lose the hope, you know, to create a better country, you know, and the common community. There are, you know, like challenges, but I believe that we can't, you know, like sit aside and say, look, it is very difficult, we can do that. No, I believe in actions.
What would you say to maybe relatives in Jedin or wherever who are asking you, how can you say you're an Israeli if they behave like this, if they pronounce themselves as a Jewish state? How can you say you are part?
I'm fighting for it. I'm fighting, you know, against the, I'm going to fight against the national bill, and I don't agree to that, and don't accept that, and I'm not sitting aside, you know, saying, you know, look, wow, I'm poor. No, I have to find my ways, you know, and methods how to, you know, to fight against this really bad law, okay? And it's not only this law, there are other, you know, many other things that the government and the you know, have done, you know, to us, to the Israeli Arabs. I mean, they took our land and they took our houses. And I want to fight, you know, against these things and to change the situation so that I can get my rights in this country. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say, well, look, it's very difficult as a Jewish state, I'm leaving. No, I'm going to stay here and to fight and get more rights and more budgets and to change the situation of the Arab society here in Israel. And I hope, you know, with my brothers, you know, like in Jenin and Ramallah, will come a time, you know, that my country would do, you know, the peace agreement, you know, with my people. I mean, I'm Palestinian. I'm Palestinian live in Israel. He's a Palestinian that lives in the Palestinian Authority, okay? So this is my dream. Okay, but that's the way how I act, okay, in this country. Not yet, but I'm really afraid, you know, like of you know, like the improvement of the national bill. I hope that will not affect, you know, negatively the implementation of the programs, because in my opinion, again, there is a discussion in these issues. I mean, national bill is saying, look, it is okay to discriminate, you know, in the allocating of governmental money. I mean, that's my interpretation, you know, to the to the law. But the others say, no, this is only a slogan, only a law, or something like that, okay? But as I mentioned before, I mean, all these political actions that have been taken in the last months or years, you know, against the Arab society, they are affecting, I mean, our efforts, you know, to do this integration process. You can't, you know, disconnect between these political issues and the other issues. They are related, you know. But I want to hope, I want to, I don't know, to be optimistic that, you know, that we are strong enough, you know, to do and to implement our, you know, like activities and actions despite national law and the other laws.
With money always comes interest, not like interest rates, but interest groups maybe. With even more money, there are more interest groups. Are those an issue for you, like interest lobby groups? Because that, I suppose that for a municipality, for getting the money, this is a very important, maybe they want to get it first. So, is this an issue, and if so, how are you dealing with it?
You mean within my society? I mean, within the Arab society,
yes.
There is an interest group to get more money. Okay, I mean, we have, the good thing is here that we have a clear, you know, programs, and we have a clear system, you know, who gets what, okay, in these plans. As example, the municipalities that you mentioned, like I got 1.5 billion shekels in the next 4 years to strengthen the Arab municipality in two issues, you know, to do, as example, like economical projects or to strengthen the infrastructure within the municipalities. That's it. I mean, so they have to apply, you know, for this money, and they have to show us, you know, the professional plans that they have conducted to get the money. Okay. That's one thing, and of course the other money we have, by the way, I mean, we have divided, also allocated, as example, the money for housing and planning for each one of the municipalities. They know how much money they will get in the next 5 years, this year and the other year and the other year. So this is a clear program, you know, on over the next 5 years, how much money will get each one of the municipalities. So to prevent, you know, competition, you know, between these interest groups, you know, within this. Okay. Yeah.
We are here to learn about this country, and many times in the last days we had the topic, the one or two state solution. Do you think your program and the big amount of money which is now invested in the Arab society is invested because to prevent a two-state solution? Or if so, did you have this discussion with your partners?
No, I mean, you have to understand, I mean, we are talking about the Palestinians that live within Israel. I mean, the 1.8 million citizens, they are Palestinians, Arab society that lives in Israel. And in the West Bank and in Gaza, there are additional 4 billion Palestinians that live there. So we are strengthening our society, you know, because we want to be here, we want to stay here, when we want to be integrated in this country, okay? So if we'll be two-state solutions, we are not going to move. No, there's no relation. My mandate is to deal with the 1.8 million citizens within Israel, not with the other side. So I'm not strengthening them, and then we will have one state solution. No, I mean, I'm not there. So, and I believe in two state solutions, and that's the optimal, you know, like, solution for this area, of course. But we are going to stay here in this country. If you ask the Arab society here in Israel, if a state of Palestine will be created, we are not going to move there. We are going to stay here, the majority of us, okay? So 96%, 98% of us, we're going to stay here. So we want to improve our situation here. We want to improve our quality of life. We want to get our rights, you know, in this country. Yeah, a green light. Yeah, I mean, there's the state of Israel, there's the Green Line, the Palestinian Authority, and the government of Israel doesn't invest any money, you know, like in the Palestinian territories. I mean, settlements. Settlements, something else. I mean, yeah, I mean, settlements, but they are not investing in Ramallah, they are not investing in Jenin. They're like Barkan, okay, the industrial park in Barkan, which is behind the Green Line, and there are, you know, like Palestinians from Ramallah and Jenin are working there, and also there are settlers, you know, like so working together. They are not, you know, they are not part of this policy that I have talking about.
Sorry for the question.
That's okay. I totally agree with you. Yeah.